Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I'm sorry to report to my friends in Chicago, the nightmare continues.
Chicago Tribune sports page?
Really?
Column by Stephen Rosenblum.
Steve Rosenblum. You know him? Never heard the name before yet.
Steve Rosenblum.
I think Chance the Rabbi is the way to go.
Brian Peruke.
Well, when's he coming back?
I said, do you want to come back? And it was an emphatic no.
We're glad he misses us.
Sitting in for Mike Esposito, who's sitting in for Jordan Bernfield, who's sitting in for Wayne Randazzo, who's sitting in for Mark Grody, who's sitting in for Brian Peruke. It's Matt Spiegel.
This is funny, because we're trying so hard to make this funny, and it's not funny.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Baseball is full of suck right now.
For some reason, they sing.
With a duck duck here and a quack quack there, right?
Take the last train to Turdsville, and we'll meet you at the station. Take the last train to Turdsville. They're in need of sanitation, don't you know?
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Now they won't stop singing.
Lido.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's a master's course in stupid.
You're tapping two kegs of stupid, and it is really flowing.
What percentage is $5 on 100?
They have celebrity rebukes.
This is Wayne Mesmer, Senior Executive Vice President of the Wolves. You know, in all my years involved in sports and many teams, I have never been involved with something that sucks so badly.
The three words that best describe this show are as follows, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Rosenblum and Spiegel on WSCR 670 The Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome in. Saturday Suckage, Rosenblum, Spiegel, with you. Yo 1103, post-Christmas, mid-Latka Hanukkah, mid-Kwanzaa. Festivus is when exactly? Did we ever establish dates on Festivus?
Yeah, I think they had an exact date. Wasn't it the 27th? I believe it was Festivus. I don't know.
All right. And
That was the 23rd.
23rd is exactly right. Thank you, Zach. Thank God you're here.
Yeah, 23rd. Zach Withersets. Yeah, and this is, as a texter immediately points out from the 815, of course, happy last show before pot becomes legal in Illinois. January 1st. Happy New Year. Mm. And fittingly, one of our guests today at noon, Mark Grody, will be here. Mark Grody, one of the co-founders of the Wake and Bake Club. He and I will be doing a show from 7 to 12, New Year's Day, the day that pot becomes legal, recreational pot legal
in Illinois. Oh, my God. You're smoking up on the air?
Yeah, well, we're not. We don't. Can we spark on the air?
I don't know. I don't know. Jason Benetti last hour.
That'd be indoor smoking.
He called it Mitch Rosen's 670 The Score, which I think is a.
Come on.
So I think that is that's the official new branding. So ask Mitch if you can spark it up. You know?
Just what I want to get. Spilkis gets a little more itchy with that whole thing. Yeah, no, we're going to do that. So, and this is also, let me ask you this. Was we acted like we have scheduled this show, worked this show, and we're on 11 to 2 today.
Uh-huh.
One of our guests, of course, includes Mark Grody, talk some Bears. Patrick Findlay from the Chicago Sun-Times will be here at 12:40. Talk some more Bears. We're treating this like a regular Bears game. But this is a nonsense thing. This is the second game of the Bears exhibition season. Remarkably, Matt Nagy is allowing his starters to play in this exhibition game. So let me put this to you. Is there anything to be learned tomorrow against a Minnesota team that probably will sit everybody, because this is what actually matters. You sit people during the last week, that doesn't mean it. They're locked in. They're number six. Nobody's getting hurt.
They've got nothing to play for.
Right. They're playing at home. They got nothing to play for. People are paying regular season
a little bit of
prices.
Pride. A little bit of pride, maybe.
But, okay, well, where does that carry you? So is there anything to be learned? What do you expect tomorrow? What advances the Bears story tomorrow? What could?
It's a good question. I don't think that there's anything of consequence too much that can come out of it. Like, if the offense goes out there and looks really good and functional, and Mitch has a good day, and they can run the ball a bit, and they do a whole bunch of things well, I guess for them as humans, it will mean...
As humans.
Because they are, last I checked. It will mean some good vibes, babe, to carry through to the offseason a little bit. Oh, yeah, we can do this a little. Like if the season had ended with the Dallas game, you know, that kind of thing. But they still thought they were in it. But you don't want the season to end like the Chiefs game. You don't want that feeling going into it. The reality is that no matter what happens tomorrow, the reality is what you saw on the field against the Chiefs in the last home game. But if they can end feeling a little bit better about themselves, I think as humans, it might matter for them. I don't think it means anything for us.
I think that because you went there, and I know you're speaking of what they're going to say against a Minnesota team with nothing to play for and probably no players of far fewer players of NFL caliber on the field against which the Bears might accomplish something. Hmm. To believe that carries forward is the, you know what we will learn? We will learn that the Bears continue to be delusional of what they have and what they are, because there's nothing carries over from one season to the next, and not in a game that means nothing for either team. And should they perform well, let's say they beat the Vikings 24-3. All right. It's a wonderful, the kind of thing, where has this been all year? Uh-huh. Well, Vikings didn't care. It will be a further indictment of what I think is a major weakness in the human beings you talk about, because they will have done it again when the ultimate pressure is off. This is an exhibition game, and they have admitted, their coaches admitted, they were better with the pressures off. They couldn't perform under the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at this saying, well, how do you win a Super Bowl then with that kind of mentality?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think they're going to. I don't.
Okay, we got that out of the way.
No, it's going to be a while. And there'll be a different quarterback and probably a different GM before they win a Super Bowl.
Ah, now we're getting closer.
But no, I was talking about the players as humans, because look, the coach and the GM are the ones that need to have some real sober, non-delusional conversations, and you dream of that possibility.
Some come-to-Jesus talks?
Yeah, like some, like, hey, by the way, I think I suck at this. You know what? You do suck at this. Hey, well, I think I made a mistake. You know what? You did make a mistake. Like, I don't think this guy can play. You know what? He can't. All right, fine. Like, they need to have that kind of stuff. But for the players themselves, you know, haven't you ever, in the face of a crumbling newspaper, written a final column for a particular season and felt good about it? And wasn't that better for your week? I know that during a bad concert, I have finished strong with a vocal performance that made me feel better between that and the next gig than finishing on a dud. So that's the human way that I'm talking about for the actual practitioners of the thing and not the architects.
You're describing another version of the golfer's delusion. Somewhere on the 18th hole, it's the one shot that keeps you back.
Absolutely.
Or somewhere on the back nine, it's the one hole that keeps you coming back.
Rosie,
you think you can do this.
For better or for worse, I believe in the power of delusion. Serious. It's been both good and a problem in my life. If you want to get hardcore therapeutic, I'm right here for you.
Well, your greatest strength is often your greatest weakness.
Completely correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So I will allow you to have your delusion.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
And I would encourage that. It appears to be one of your four major food groups. But admitting it or working around it, the fact that you know that allows you to have more ammunition to work with it.
Yes.
But the fact that the Bears players admitted, I think it was Charles Leno among them, and Harry Hiestand certainly, admitted, okay, we know we can't play when the pressure's on. All right. Well, that's good that you're saying that. We know we played better when the pressure was off. We just let we played free. There was no connect the dots moment of
sad.
How do we do this when the pressure's on? Because next year we're going to come back. So under Nagy, they're 1-1 essentially. A great year, a bad year, and you're going to hear this stuff about Nagy. Yeah, well, last year was coach of the year. Yeah, last year Ryan Pace was GM of the executive of the year. Well, what that award frequently is fluke of the year. So the Bears will happily not fire anybody. Well, not fire either of those two, because they'll say, okay, we're 1-1. We had a good year, a bad year. So which way is it going to go now?
Well, those guys aren't getting fired. I think we
they
know
should,
that.
One of them.
The real question, well, who should? Matt?
Ryan Pace.
Pace. Well, he's not going to. The bosses are not going to come down to that. 1 year removed from executive of the year, and he's
fluke of the year.
Well, but he's no, because the Mac trade was, you know, they were 12-4. They were legit 12-4. But here's the thing. I need to know, and everybody needs to know, and we're not going to know how soberly they would look at the quarterback and say we're done with him or not. And let me ask you this. Let's assume full-on selfishness from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Huh? Let's assume careerist selfishness. Okay? Careerist selfishness.
Sounds like a major.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Parkins majored in it.
somebody else.
I know. Or anybody else. I kid Parkins to his face about it. So
his business is rife for that.
Of course. Of course. But so let's assume careerist selfishness on Ryan Pace's part.
I love that phrase.
Are you better off bringing Mitch back with that in mind or not? Because a lot of us have the default, well, they're going to bring Mitch back because they don't want to admit they're wrong. But if you're Pace and you bring Mitch back and he's mediocre again or sucks, he sucks or is mediocre again, doesn't that get you closer to unemployment?
Yes. Well, it's basically a Tarantino movie. Everybody dies at the end. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's going to go if you do that. Now, here's the problem with that is you're talking about, I understand career selfish and that careerist mentality of CYA, cover your ass.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. But you had also previously brought up the sobriety, the cold-eyed sobriety of an evaluation that's honest and a real come-to-Jesus moment. Now, here's the problem.
So what if you have that honesty, but then you're still careerist and you have to decide what to do?
What has given you any, even as delusional as you are, what has given you any evidence that that exists? Knowing we're coming off a season where we spent OTAs, we heard OTAs, we heard during training camp, oh my God, this is Mitch 2.0. You know what? This is Mitch remedial reading. He regressed. He did not get to the second level. He regressed.
Yeah.
So what gives you any, where's the evidence that you would believe them if they said they had a sober evaluation of what you saw, what they saw, what you saw?
There's really not much.
No, I was hopeful that there would be, that you had something you were relying on.
You know, all I can give you is this possibility that Mitch is really good in practice and then fills his pants with excrement during the games.
Well, we kind of know that's the thing.
Yeah, so then they were seeing it in OTAs. Then they were seeing it in practice. And they were seeing it in the classroom and all of that. And then the games came. They're like, what happened to our guy?
And then Nagy went full Trestman. Well, we worked on that on practice. He hit it in practice all week.
Well,
we heard that.
If that's, I'm giving you that would be the best case scenario, is that Mitch has finally exposed himself via the game tape that there wasn't enough of in college, or that they didn't dissect well enough in college. He's finally exposed himself as a dude who cannot handle bringing everything from the classroom to the field when it's a game and there's pressure. He can't do it.
But then you're talking about bringing him back.
Well, no, then you can't. Like, if you know that, if you're them and that's the sober look you take and you realize that that's your conclusion, then you cannot bring him back. And that's the hope.
Did you happen to catch this? Maybe I'm making too much of it, or I'm about
probably
to make too much of
sports
it.
Sports radio, everybody.
We got 3 hours to fill, so we're gonna. But there was a comment last week in advance of Mahomes, Trubisky, Chiefs, yada, 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 right? Mahomes is asked about Nagy and how he basically sat and learned all year and made the point about Nagy about the way he explained things to him, about the way he taught him. Seemed to stress the classroom stuff. Nagy spent extra time as the Chiefs, as Andy Reid's, whatever his his sergeants, and whatever he was tasked to do, which was to make get Pat Mahomes up to speed if it ever was necessary, and it was the next year. And he made a point about that. Here's what I think happened. Matt Nagy knew what he saw in Pat Mahomes. It has nothing to do with the choice of Pat Mahomes versus Mitch Trubisky. We know which one has the stronger arm, we know which one the Chiefs fell in love with, and the one the Bears fell in love with. But I believe, what about this? What about Matt Nagy insisting on teaching, trying to teach Mitch Trubisky the same way he taught Pat Mahomes?
Absolutely.
But failing to realize, to coach the player who's there, who doesn't really, you know, you ask somebody to do the study, the academics, the homework, as opposed to actually do it. The difference between on paper and on the field.
This is 100% the case. In my
so opinion. You like, believe that, even though we're not in those rooms?
I absolutely believe that Matt Nagy misevaluated his student and how he was going to learn and what he was capable of learning. And instead of giving him another 5 or 10 plays to do and using his legs and keeping things simple the way Josh Allen does in Buffalo, the way so many mobile quarterbacks have done, young Russell Wilson in Seattle, like just slowly expanding, he gave him the whole damn thing and said, learn the whole thing. And by the way, stay in the pocket more because you're ready for this gigantic leap. And it takes a really special player to do that, and Mitch ain't that.
So Mitch spent 3 months before he really told us what he thought. Get me out more.
Yep.
And basically he's saying, the subtext is, cut the field in half.
Yep.
Give me fewer options. I can't read zones, so let's eliminate them.
Yeah, he has said it every week, progressively more and more. This is what I need. This is what would be good. This would make me comfortable. He finally resorted to saying it publicly. He had to. And hopefully he's been saying it privately, and I assume that he has. I bet he wasn't saying it in the offseason. He was like, okay, I'll do what my coach is telling me to do. I'll be the good soldier and the good student. And Nagy overloaded him with a desire to show the world his geniusness, to show the world what he could do with the full bloom of his offense. He didn't have Pat Mahomes. Didn't even have Alex Smith. Didn't have somebody who could translate classroom to field like that.
He had a guy who's admittedly a rep-based quarterback and would let him play in the preseason with all the adults. This is why this is important, that this is a preseason.
Mm-hmm.
It won't matter, but you have to. The only thing you can look at on tape and come away with enthusiastically is if you call plays that you're going to use next year, even against what is essentially going to be a Minnesota scout team defense, even if you only do that, but all his mechanics and his instincts show up on film against that you have tape to go back to.
Chum Dallas.
This is a preseason game that you have to let him play. And I can't believe Nagy would not allow his team to play in a preseason, his first string to play in a preseason next year with your quarterback. If this is still the quarterback, with your quarterback, as rep based as he is and as a stumbling kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Well, the irony is that if they do bring Mitch back, the right thing to do is to keep it super duper simple, and the preseason stuff won't be as important because they're not asking him to learn this giant playbook full of stuff. That's
the
irony.
Completely change the style.
No, they're saying, okay, yeah, no, we're going to do what you like to do and what you're good at, so then it's not as important. And
I don't believe they're capable of that. I just don't. Nagy is a guy who's. The BU is code for be stubborn. And I think he's very reluctant to change. He believes he has a system. I think he's got a loose leaf binder of really Keno, Neato, Peachy Keno, Neato plays.
And don't you on some human level get that? What if you were given your one chance to be sports editor or program director, and your first year, you guys kill it in the ratings? Wouldn't you go further? Wouldn't you go even further?
That was delusional. That was the defense scoring like the offense did.
Amen.
That was the defense with all those turnovers. They're about to tie 27 interceptions last year, and they're about to tie a franchise record for fewest.
Well, which they did the 3 years prior to the 27.
Right.
The 27 was crazy, and all the trick plays worked. So big. All the trickeration.
Santa sleigh and give it to the fat guy and all that stuff.
All the stuff that looks ridiculous when Cordarrelle Patterson gets tackled 5 yards behind the field. or Anthony Miller fumbles a pitch that destroys the opening drive against the Chiefs. All that stuff fails now, and it all worked last year.
So that's Matt Spiegel. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We'll be here till 2 o'clock, like it or not. 11:40, David Schuster will talk some Bulls with us. They're going to play a game they can win tonight. They expect to win. They should win. If they don't win, they close the franchise down.
As long as we're talking NFL here, do you mind if I share with you something that I learned in conversation and watching the Baltimore Ravens that seems so simple but is clearly not?
I would love to. We will come back with that.
Okay.
And we'll come back with my reasons that Ryan Pace should not be allowed to pick the next Bears quarterback.
Yes, good. I want to hear
that. So we will do those in the next segment, and we'll give you more stuff. We will talk with Mark Rohde at noon, Patrick Findlay of the Sun-Times at 12:40, and we will take you up to 2 o'clock where we will turn it over to the Vogues, and they'll be here to sing their 1965 hit, 5 O'Clock World. No, that's Maggie and Julie. I'm sorry. I keep messing that up. Rosenblum and Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Speaking of Keith Olsen, welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Matt Spiegel, Saturday Suckage with you. David Schuster will come on in about 15 minutes and talk some Bulls. Are going to win a game tonight. The Hawks are even worse than, the Atlanta Hawks are worse than the Chicago Blackhawks. That's how bad that is. So, anyways, you, Matt Spiegel, saw the Baltimore Ravens and said, aha, you had an aha moment. Take me on.
You know what it's been, and appreciate that, and you need to finish that phrase. Take me on. To the this hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids, by the way. Call 1-877.
You went all Julia Child right there.
Cars for Kids. I've watched the Ravens all year because how do you not? Because there's nothing more fun than watching Lamar Jackson run. And then you watch the whole offense and you realize some stuff about what Greg Roman has always done. He did this in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick and Frank Gore when he was the offensive coordinator
there.
Yes,
he did.
And he does it now with Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram or Gus Edwards, whoever their running back happens to be, and that offensive line. And in talking about it progressively with people along the way, and then Anthony Herron the other day, day after Christmas, had Anthony Herron on, and we were talking about it, I realized why it works so well and why the Bears look so awful when they run the ball.
Share with the class, please.
Because the Ravens have an incredibly physical attacking offensive line and a very physical attacking running back in Ingram, just like Frank Gore was.
Yes.
Right? And what they do is they make a definitive, decisive plan to run directly at you and run the ball.
And hurt you and wear you out by doing that.
Hurt you and wear you out by doing it, but on a play, they might dress it up with all sorts of wacky trickeration going to either side. And, hey, look at the jet sweep action. That's adorable. And look at this. We might hit a guy down there, and there's another guy going out over there. But really what they're doing is just beating the crap out of you decisively and definitively with authority. And meanwhile, watch the Bears' plays. Watch the offensive line. They're always seeming to hedge. We might be running. We might be passing. Montgomery, I might be going to this spot, or I might bounce it outside. Tariq, should I bounce it outside? Probably, maybe. Even Mitch with the tentativeness. But no, and it's 101 stuff. It's basic stuff. Shake them up with the side-to-side stuff and get them just a tiny bit off balance, and then pummel them straight ahead. It's a power running game that the Ravens run. Power, physical, strong, and decisive. And I keep coming back to decisive and deciding to run it. That's why, like, when they put Mitch under center, when Nagy puts Mitch under center, they run better. When they were in the I formation, because the line's not thinking, well, it's the RPO. It's like, you got to be super special skilled to run RPOs and still be able to run block when you're hedging your bets about which way to go. It's a much more effective way that the Ravens do it or the Niners do it. When we run, we run. And everybody knows you break the huddle knowing we're going to run. And we're going right the hell at them.
And every offensive lineman will tell you there's a greater ferocity to their play when they can go forward, when they can dominate, as opposed to the more defensive style of backing up for pass protection.
Sure, and imagine being caught in between that every single play.
Not knowing, but also, Greg Roman has established a commitment to the run, had before.
Yes.
And there was every reason to believe the Bears would have established a commitment to the run when they went out and made David Montgomery the lust of their object of their affection.
But you don't do it with a running back. You do it with a mindset and an offensive line.
You need a running back you want to block for, and Matt Nagy seemingly was in favor of what Ryan Pace
But it's philosophy. It's philosophy. Yeah. And Nagy does not have this philosophy at all. It's how you end up throwing 55 times. It's how you end up crapping the bed in your one chance in the playoffs with the Chiefs because he didn't run enough. He doesn't believe in it.
No.
He doesn't think it's the key to what you do. And having the mindset to do it is the key. Look at Kyle Shanahan. They run the hell out of the ball. He's wrong.
You would have been a good hire, that Kyle Shanahan guy.
Yeah, I agree.
The roots here. Okay. I need to make this point about why Ryan Pace cannot be allowed to pick the Bears' next quarterback, which means he doesn't have to be fired, but he can't be GM anymore. He can go to personnel, do stuff like that. Because and I feel bad that I didn't do this when he was hired, so this is research too late, but let's connect the dots. The first thing he did was he refused to dump Jay Cutler during his honeymoon period. He really had a get out of Jay free card. He could have just said, but he could have come in there and said, we're not doing this.
Yes.
And everybody thought he would. We all thought he would because you knew it wasn't going to work. Then he paid Mike Glennon to suck, right?
Yeah.
Then he traded up to draft the worst of the three top quarterbacks. He had a 66.67% chance of getting it right, and he got it wrong. They weren't going to work out Deshaun Watson, right? It was Mahomes, but he loved. He was being you. He was sold on it. He was keeping his secret. He loved the guy, which Habarkish loves to point out. Of all the quarterbacks taken in the first round, Mitch Trubisky has the fewest snaps, fewest games, fewest everything of any quarterback taken in the first round. This goes back to 40 years.
You're kidding.
See, he's got some trivia. He's got a note, and I don't have every detail, but it underscores how bad this was. So if that's not evidence of utter lack of qualification to choose the next quarterback, here's something that should have been pointed up at the time that Ryan Pace was hired from the Saints. And when he was hired, he just kept saying, Drew Brees, Drew Brees, Drew Brees. I know what a quarterback looks like is Drew Brees. I know what a leader looks like is Drew Brees.
Mm.
Yeah, we all do. Guys in fantasy league do. Guys playing video games do. I didn't go back and do this until this week and said, let me find something out. Well, here's the problem with Ryan Pace and why he can't be allowed to choose the Bears' next quarterback. He was never in New Orleans. New Orleans never drafted and developed a great quarterback. In fact, they never drafted and developed a quarterback.
No, they traded for Brees.
He was injured. They got him off a gurney. Uh-huh. So Ryan Pace joined the Saints in 2001. So he came to the Bears in 2014. At that time, he said, I believe we should draft a quarterback every year, right? Well, and he said he believed in Drew Brees. Okay, Drew Brees is a good gold standard. Leads the NFL in total touchdowns, right? History, right? Okay. He hasn't drafted a quarterback every year. He doesn't come from an organization that drafted a quarterback every year. This is the scary part and what we should have known from the start and why this was screwed. During Pace's time in New Orleans, the Saints drafted only 3 quarterbacks. None of them took a snap for the team. I give you these people. J.T. O'Sullivan. He's probably the name you've heard of, if you've heard of any of these 3.
Because he ended up in Buffalo playing, and then he opened a chain of family restaurants.
He never played for the Saints.
Oh, no, that's...
He was drafted out of UC Davis in 2002.
Uh-huh.
Adrian McPherson. You might have remembered that. Florida State, 2005. Never played. I feel like red buttons. Never got a dinner. All right, Sean Canfield. Ever heard of that?
No.
2010, Oregon State. Never played. In Ryan Pace's time, where he has never been part of an organization that drafted and developed a great quarterback, or really any quarterback.
Oh, God.
Drew Brees came with enough pedigree, and he was somebody else's draft choice.
Fully formed.
When he did try to draft and develop a quarterback, you are now sitting with a guy, Mitch Trubisky, ranks 28th in quarterback rating. Whatever you think quarterback rating, he ranks 28th. Ranking 18th is Jacoby Brissett. Ranking 9th is Jimmy Garoppolo. New England Patriots are trading guys. They're getting rid of quarterbacks who are better than the ones the Bears traded up to get. How how can Ryan Pace be allowed to choose the Bears' next quarterback, and they need the next quarterback right now? Okay, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year.
It's well argued. So this is where you regret that there is no big football Bigfoot in this organization. Mm-hmm. Once again, we are back to the idea of converted accountant Ted Phillips sitting next to the McCaskey of the day.
McCaskey du jour, yeah.
McCaskey du jour.
All nice people, by the way, but
sure.
Institutional knowledge of the NFL? Not so much.
How about knowledge of what it takes to play and be good at football? Zippity-doo-dah. Zippity-ay. So Ted Phillips and the McCaskey du jour, are sitting there. Ryan, we don't think that you should pick the next one.
It won't happen. They won't get rid of it.
Some research, yeah. And Ryan's like, no, you haven't. I got it. Thanks, guys. I'll learn from this. Thank you.
You going to have dinner with anybody? Yeah, that's the problem. And here's one more note to this. Hub Arkish makes the excellent point when confronted with this by callers, and I sound like a score caller, I realize this, but when confronted with this, he says, you can criticize Pace for what he did with the quarterback debacle, but you also have to give him credit for what he did with putting together a top five defense. And I say, yes, you're right. Hub is exactly right. But the reason Ryan Pace can't stay in that job is that Mitch Trubisky is proving that failure at that position can overcome a guy like Khalil Mack, can neuter the greatness of that defense.
It sure can.
And it has.
It's the most important position in sports for a reason, folks.
And more important than that defense he put together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
hey,
with that good news.
That was great. A texter says, guys, how was Ryan Pace supposed to know that a guy who won Clemson's second ever national title, twice passed for over 4,000 yards, threw 90 college TDs and ran in 26 more, won two Davey O'Brien trophies, and was twice a Heisman finalist, was any good? How was he supposed to know that?
Right. Without working him out, how was he supposed to know that?
Without a magical five-hour dinner.
Right, and an old car.
You think if they had dinner and Deshaun Watson had registered the reservation under Vince Evans instead of something like that?
Right. Do you think when you've watched? I know we got to get out of here, but this point that you bring up about Deshaun Watson and having dinner with him, when you've watched him, there've been recently a lot of post-game videos where he's broken down plays.
It's the best.
Could you imagine like that dinner and what we? I mean, that's how does that not sell you? How do you not do a personal interview? You spend 24 hours with a guy, and how could you not come away with being so impressed
because,
and sold?
Because Ryan Pace has Tony La Russa disease.
Yeah,
he's got Tony La Russa disease. I'm smarter than you.
All right,
just watch.
All right, well, just listen. We're gonna. If you thought Ryan Pace sucked, wait till we get to David Schuster next. Rosenblum and Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Freebird! That walk-up music, that inimitable tune, brings us to the unfortunate David Schuster. Joining us here on the screen. David, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And guess what? Guaranteed Bulls victory night tonight.
I think we've said this before where the Bulls should win a game, but they should win this game tonight. And it's disappointing to many that the Bulls have been this season. The Atlanta Hawks are just putrid. They might be the most disappointing team in the NBA. They've lost 9 in a row. They're 20 games under 500. They were supposed to be good with all their young players, and their best young player is not even playing tonight. As Trae Young sprained his ankle up in Milwaukee last night, so he's not even going to play tonight. So, yes, let's mark it down for a Bulls victory in advance. How's that?
And so whatever the Bulls had done previously, it might as well have been the case that Trae Young didn't play against the Bulls. They did. He was miserable against them, and they were terrific on him. I can spin it positively. What were they doing against a guy who could be so explosive and dangerous and, you know, is against every other team in the league, seemingly?
Trapping him as soon as he came across center court. And I even asked this of Jim Boylan the other day, did you put extra emphasis on trapping this guy? And he goes, no, we do that to everybody. But the reality is, yeah, they absolutely were putting extra emphasis. As soon as this guy crossed center court, they were double teaming him and trapping him and getting the ball out of his hands. And if it ever got back into his hands with just a couple of seconds left on the clock, you know, he was putting up some really cockamamie shots. So, yeah, and Chris Dunn really took it to heart to shut this guy down. I mean, he burned the Bulls, Trae Young did, a couple of times last season, specifically in one of the games. So it's really been their mantra to shut him down, and they have in the two games that they played so far this season.
Chris Dunn is going to play in this league a long, long time, isn't he, David?
Absolutely.
As he has comfortably gone to this role and continued to excel with effort and excellence on defense, and the shot will get a little bit better, a little bit more decisive.
He can grow up to be Michael Cooper.
No, he could grow up to be Patrick Beverley.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. That works.
You know? So it's something like that. So he's going to play a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if his shot's ever going to get better, Maddie, to be honest with you. It's still not a very good-looking shot, and I don't know if or when it ever will get better. But there's a role for a guy like him in the NBA who's a defensive guy who can, you know, break down defenses and cause havoc out there. There's no question about it. I don't think he's a starter ultimately. He's obviously doing that right now because the Bulls have their own injuries to deal with. But, yes, there's a role for a guy like that in the NBA. He'll play the next 10 or 12 years, no question.
How many good, complete games has Lauri Markkanen had this year? And is that number way lower than it should be for a man of his skills and experience?
Well, how many fingers do you have on your left hand? Because I don't think it'd be any more than that, to be honest.
I was holding up. I was holding up one.
I got two, maybe. Well, two.
Wait. I know which one you're holding up.
No. It was my index finger. Because I like him. I like the idea of Lauri Markkanen. I like the guy. I like the player. I like what he could be. I have no idea where I'm far more dubious about that actually being accomplished, that the reality will meet the expectation.
Well, which one will meet the expectation first, if at all? Mitch Trubisky with the Bears or Lauri Markkanen with the Bulls?
Well, Markkanen's got a far better chance because they're going to get rid of Jim Boylan when they finally wake up, and he might get a real coach in here.
Yeah, you know, Markkanen is interesting. I mean, if you just go back to the very opening night when he did everything right, he had 35 points and I can't remember how many rebounds. It was double figures, I think. You know, that's the kind of Lauri Markkanen you wanted to see on a nightly basis. You know, he's had a little bit of an injury bug, that not enough to cause what's happened to him overall so far this season. He needs to go inside first. I'm a big believer, especially if you're 7-1, of which he is. Score on the inside first, then take your game to the outside. Too often he just sits on the three-point line, and if his shot is not going in and it hasn't on a consistent basis, then you're just basically wasting him. So, again, I'm a big believer. Make your layups first, then start hitting your jump shots.
David, Peoria Matt wonders, and it's a good question, if New Year's Eve might be a time for the John Paxson interview. or maybe Arbor Day? When is Arbor Day?
Arbor Day.
President's Day? I'm not sure.
How about Valentine's Day? I actually was thinking about Arbor Day. You're right, Maddie.
It didn't
happen this year, but it's not to say that we can't start a new tradition sometime in the near future. I'll leave it at that.
When's Tu B'Shvat? You know? I'll take obscure Jewish holidays for $500, Alex.
Certainly. All right. The case of Kobe White is, in looking for reasons, I know the Bulls have about a little less than a 12% chance of making the playoffs, and I know that was their goal, and thank God the East sucks that they actually have that much, that great a percentage of chance to make the playoffs. And I know that Jim Boylan is supposed to, I'm never sure whether he's supposed to develop groups or youth or he's supposed to win games. He always seems to, whatever bad coaching decision he makes, he always seems to default to the other side. So with this guy being, you know, a lot of all or nothing, but exciting to watch, I don't know what's the profile or history for guys like that in their getting better, in their becoming more consistent.
You're talking about Kobe White, of course.
Kobe White. I want this to work because it could be such an explosive ceiling, right?
Absolutely. But here's what you have to do if you're the Bulls. You have to define what he is and what he likely will continue to be. And it's not a point guard. He's not a point guard. I don't care that they're talking about him being a point guard. I've seen enough basketball and I've seen enough out of him to say, you know, he might get better handling the ball, but he's not a point guard. He's a scorer. Mm-hmm. He's been a scorer his whole life. You know, not that he's that old. He's only 19 years old still. But, you know, he scored in high school. He scored the 1 year in college. He's a scorer. He's a Jamal Crawford kind of player.
He's a Lou Williams. Number one scorer in the history of North Carolina. The state as a high schooler, right?
Correct. Unbelievable.
That's Michael Jordan's for those of you asking.
He's a scorer, guys. I mean, yeah, he can score from the outside. He has the ability to get on the inside. He's obviously going to get better. He's only 19 years old. He's learning the league. He's learning the players. He's learning everything, to be honest with you. He's only 19. He will get better, but He's not a point guard. So guess what? They talked about having four point guards on the Bulls going into this season. In my estimation, they're going to need another point guard going into next season, one that's not even yet on this roster. Who knows? They might even draft another one. The four point guards supposedly that they had going into this season, they're all decent players, but ultimately they're not good enough to be a starting point guard going forward, in my opinion.
David, what was your Christmas night viewing? What was your movie of choice? I assume you saw a movie. Maybe I'm overstepping this.
No, I mean, we talked about this on Christmas, of course. I couldn't get into the theater that day because I wanted to see Uncut Gems, and the place was sold out all over the place. So I didn't get a chance to see it yet. I will probably this upcoming week. And we talked that day. I mean, we can go over this again. I saw Richard Jewell. I liked Sam Rockwell, again, is great in that movie. Jumanji 2 sucked. It just sucked. I mean, some people liked it. I wasn't one of them. Knives Out, I thought was pretty decent. Queen and Slim was okay. Ford and Ferrari's been the best movie I've seen over the last month or so. Dark Waters was pretty good, and Star Wars, thank God that series is over. That was horrible.
It's not over until we say it is. All right.
It's over.
David, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, see you guys.
David Schuster, Bulls pregame coming up this evening. Julie and Maggie, who follow us, will take you up to Bulls pregame, take you up to David Schuster. He'll be there at halftime and the postgame show after they beat the Atlanta Hawks.
I saw that movie Schuster wanted to see, and I would love to talk about it with you at some point.
Sure,
because it has a massive sports tie-in.
Yeah, but 6'11" or 7'1" sports one, tie-in,
and a sports radio tie-in as well.
Oh yeah, okay, we'll do that. Speaking of that, do you know who Diedrich Bader is? You ever heard that name? You know his face, I think.
Oh yes.
He was an actor, and he was in Office Space.
Looks like Marian Hossa.
Yeah, he played Lawrence in Office Space, the snotty neighbor of Ron Livingston.
Oh, different guy. Okay, yeah.
And he was in Napoleon Dynamite. He had a turn on Veep. Anyway, this is a tweet from this actor. Had to get a new washer dryer. 17 years. Thanks, Maytag. And the guys installing it asked, "You didn't make this your wife's Christmas present, right?" No. Because the guy at the last house did, and that was a bad scene, man. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More Bears talk with a Bears sideline reporter and Scores Daily Bears reporter Mark Rohde next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly.